private property has made us so stupid and one-sided that an object is only ours when we have it, when it exists for us as capital, or when it is directly possessed, eaten, drunk, worn, inhabited, etc. In short, when it is used by us. Although private property itself again conceives all these direct relations of possession only as means of life, and the life which they serve as means is the life of private property, labor and conversion into capital. In the place of all physical and mental senses there has therefore come the sheer estrangement of all these senses, the sense of having. The human being had to be reduced to this absolute poverty in order that he might yield his inner wealth to the outer world. On the category of having, see Hess, in the philosophy of the deed, the abolition of private property is therefore the complete emancipation of all human senses and qualities, but it is this emancipation precisely because these senses and attributes have become, subjectively and objectively, human. The eye has become a human eye, just as its object has become a social, human object, an object made by man for man. The senses have therefore become directly in their practice theoreticians. They relate themselves to the thing for the sake of the thing, but the thing itself is an objective human relation to itself and to man. In practice I can relate myself to a thing humanly only if the thing relates itself humanly to the human being, and vice versa. Need or enjoyment have consequently lost its egotistical nature, and nature has lost its mere utility by use becoming human use. In the same way, the senses and enjoyment of other men have become my own appropriation. Besides these direct organs, therefore, social organs develop in the form of society. Thus, for instance, activity and direct association with others, etc., has become an organ for expressing my own life, and the mode of appropriating human life. It is obvious that the human eye enjoys things in a way different from the crude, non-human eye, the human ear different from the crude ear, etc. We have seen that man does not lose himself in his object only when the object becomes for him a human object or objective man. This is possible only when the object becomes for him a social object, he himself for himself a social being, just as society becomes a being for him in a subject. On the one hand, therefore, it is only when the objective world becomes everywhere for man in society the world of man's essential powers human reality, and for that reason the reality of his own essential powers that all objects become for him the objectification of himself, become objects which confirm and realize his individuality, become his objects, that is, man himself becomes the object. The manner in which they become his depends on the nature of the objects and on the nature of the essential power corresponding to it, for it is precisely the determinate nature of this relationship which shapes the particular, real mode of affirmation. To the eye an object comes to be other than it is to the ear, and the object of the eye is another object than the object of the ear. The specific character of each essential power is precisely its specific essence, and therefore also the specific mode of its objectification, of its objectively actual, living being. Thus man is affirmed in the objective world not only in the act of thinking, but with all his senses. On the other hand, let us look at this in its subjective aspect. Just as only music awakens in man the sense of music, and just as the most beautiful music has no sense for the unmusical ears, no object for it, because my object can only be the confirmation of one of my essential powers, it can therefore only exist for me insofar as my essential power exists for itself as a subjective capacity, because the meaning of an object for me goes only so far as my sense goes, has only a meaning for a sense corresponding to that object. For this reason the senses of the social man differ from those of the non-social man. Only through the objectively unfolded richness of man's essential being is the richness of subjective human sensibilities.